Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk. We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome, everyone, to an edition of Crusader Talk, and not just any ordinary edition of the show today. We are talking about a special marquee moment in the history of Crusader Talk. That is right. It is episode 100.
Does this mean we go into syndication?
I guess so. We've had some repeat shows before around the holidays. That's why it's not a perfect, you know, like February, whatever date it was. I think it was like February 6th back in 2023 that we had our first show. So we've had a couple repeats, a couple weeks off where we had live action basketball or whatever have you that took the place of the show. But this is a special moment for us all. It's hard to believe that we've already made it 100 episodes in a little over 2 years of doing this now.
Yeah. I'm going to have to talk to my agent about royalties on syndication.
Right. Good luck with that.
I happened to run across a TV show this week that was, 100th episode. Hey, we get syndication. You've made it. This is big time. So, Crusader Talk, we've made it.
It's crazy because I think back, Ben Milam and I were talking a couple weeks back, and he was able to check the backlogs of all the uploads that we did, and he said, our first episode was February 6th of 2023. And I started thinking about it. I remember that back then he was the host and I was kind of the co-host of it. And I did a couple episodes and then all of a sudden Nash was born. And I popped in, one of the Mondays that we were just in the beginning of our parenthood. And they were surprised that I had any energy left to come by the station and mention anything, lack of sleep and all that jazz going on. But it's been a fun ride so far. We're not stopping anytime soon.
Mm-mm.
That's the goal anyway. We'll talk to the man later on that can make that executive decision if he needs to pull the plug. But nevertheless, we have all intentions of keeping doing this as long as they'll have us.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't mention royalties. Maybe I shouldn't mention.
I've been trying for years. Trust me, you're not going to get anywhere with that.
All right.
Caleb Hamill, Josh West, and Dalton Stanford with you here in the Super Talk Hattiesburg studios as we talk everything William Carey Athletics. Big week to recap. Baseball, good week on the diamond. Had four home games and won all four. You can't argue with that. Your boat chip index drops a little bit because the teams you were playing were not of the higher caliber, but don't worry. That level of competition is going to heat up as we get to the end of the year. It's crazy when you look at this SSAC schedule right now, Josh, because Carey's got 3 weekends left, I believe, if memory serves me right, of conference play, and then it's off to the tournament. We've got Faulkner, Blue Mountain Christian, and Loyola. And guess who are the top three teams in the SSAC? Carey, Faulkner, and Loyola. And the plus side is Loyola and Faulkner also have yet to play each other. So all three of the top teams are going to start battling it out to see who ends up being the top team to finish off conference play. But right now, Carey is with only two losses in league play. Got their 30th win over the weekend as well. And overall, I thought they played pretty decently. I know competition, notwithstanding, but still an overall pretty good team effort.
Well, and I thought I think one of the big question marks going into the weekend, and as it has been, was starting pitching, and pitching in particular as well. And to be able to kind of shuffle the lineup again, this staff is continuing to try to, figure out where everybody, I say coaching staff is trying to figure out where everybody's going to go within the pitching staff. And that's going to evolve and change, if you will, I think, more times over the next few weeks and into the postseason as guys get healthy, as guys like an Andrew Shira get their confidence back. But speaking of Andrew Shira, he goes out, no decision, but 5 2/3 innings. And I think in his previous two or three outings, he was something like, an inning in 2/3 and giving up 14 runs. It was just, dismal. And that's something that if he were sitting right here, he would totally agree with. But he threw a good bullpen last week heading into the weekend and then was able to somewhat carry that over. You know, there were some control issues a little bit there, but all in all, much better performance. That is a really, really good sign. I thought guys like Rigoberto Hernandez were continuing to impress at the plate. Josh Alexander hit a baseball that I never saw. I glanced down. I heard it because you could hear it across campus. And when I tried to look up, you have to try to catch that little ball through the net. And it was so high, and the glare was such off the net where the net was so bright. Well, the right fielder didn't move. Nobody was moving. Josh just kind of stared at it and didn't move very much in awe. And so you're going, wait a minute, is that a – you know, the umpires weren't reacting. And until it was pretty much gone, I mean, it was such a no-doubt home run into the wind. 402 feet, 108 miles per hour off the bat. No doubter bomb that still, you know, I've not seen, and I'd have to go back and hope I could see it, you know, on the stream archive. But, you know, just a lot of impressive moments from the weekend.
Yeah, very impressive indeed. And Josh Alexander's did a great job. And again, it's so crazy to think back to what we were saying about him early on in the season. You know, transfer from Louisiana, coming to Mississippi and playing for the Crusaders, and got off to a really slow start. I mean, had maybe one hit in his first 20 at-bats, it seemed like. His first three hits were a double and two home runs. He was kind of an all-or-nothing guy. And then once you got into that kind of early to mid part of the conference schedule, you get that awakening set of games against Bruton Parker, and all of a sudden you look up, Josh, and Alexander is tied for first in the country in runs batted in. 64 on the season, tied with the likes of Charlie Muniz and a guy from Missouri Baptist who we saw earlier this year in Cole Robinson. So familiar people. Muniz is a guy that for Cumberland's hit a pretty big grand slam homer against Kerry in the World Series last year. So all three guys that I've gotten to see play, and all are the real deal. And to see Alexander, a transfer, coming in and making a big splash like that after such a slow start is amazing.
And is Muniz one of those players that is one of the most decorated coming into this season, if I'm not mistaken?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Leads the country at home runs as well with 25.
Yeah.
He's big time. Definitely is. But outside of that, I mean, the other headlines, you mentioned Andrew Shira. Again, I was looking at just first inning, you know, type of things, because he gave up a run in that first inning against Thomas over the weekend. But in all of his first innings of work over the last few weeks, he had given up 5, 6, 3, maybe one against Point. But still, he was giving up multiple runs in inning number one, if he even made it through an entire first inning. He gave up 3 runs to Mississippi College in a relief appearance. And with that, he was not even slated to pitch with any – you know, length this weekend, because Matthew Davis, we had heard, was going to be back healthy, at least was going to be able to throw about 30 to 40 pitches. Well, he throws a bullpen instead, and after that, he comes up to the coaches and says, I don't think it would be wise for me to try to throw again right now because I'm trying to get my strength back, and it's bothering me a little bit. Just, you know, kind of nerve problem, you know, towards the elbow, you know, that typical pitcher thing. We still are of the opinion, and he would tell you this, that he will be back this season in full strength, but it's just going to be kind of a slow nursing to where you hope that he is back in a starting role come postseason play. Maybe it's the SSAC tournament because, you know, the number of games there would allow you that opportunity. But as you look at this past weekend, your starting pitchers were Connor Wilson, who was – he made it through, but wasn't extremely effective. Luke Lissette in relief did the bulk of, you know, holding the game where it was. Preston Ratliff, really good outing to start for William Carey, and then turned things over to Lane Jarrow for a short bit, but Bobby McGee was the one that got the win. And then finally, Andrew Shira comes in to pitch and has one of his best outings of the season. And when you look at it, you know, down the stretch of these games against Faulkner and Loyola, don't know that they can have those same type of outings that they did against Thomas. They got away with it this weekend. Don't know that you can use that same effort in some of these tougher conference games and on into the postseason. But that's where a guy maybe like Matthew Davis, if he comes back healthy, Andrew Shira, if he's turning a corner, even Corey Cook, who will not have a midweek game to throw in this week, may become kind of a key piece to get you through in some of these late weekend games.
Well, I just think these are all positive signs. The other big thing, as you mentioned, and just kind of breezed right by, was the fact that Cary's 19-2 in conference. They have a 3-game lead on the teams tied in second place. So that gives you some cushion, and some cushion that you very well could need. And one of the questions I would have is, I'm not looking at the bracket, and you're far more familiar. What does the number one seed do in terms of an advantage in the SSAC tournament? Is it pool play? Is it two different pools? Is it really kind of a you could even be the one seed and get a tougher draw, so to speak, potentially?
Yeah, that is a good question, because last year was the first year that they decided to do pool play. And we may look a little bit closer at that. No, they've gone back to bracketed play. That's good. Or did they? No. Oh, sorry. No, it is still pool play. I saw seeds and I thought that was a change. No, it is seeded pool play. Top 8 seeds make it to Jackson, Tennessee to play for the championship.
So Cary would be in the 1-8-4-5 pool.
I believe so, yes. 1-4-5-8. The other pool would be 2-3-6-7.
Which could be huge if it keeps you away from Faulkner and Loyola in pool play.
Right. And depending on how the results all shake out, day 3 of pool play could be meaningless, and you could sandbag one of your better arms for that final game. So a lot to still be decided in that. But as we continue on in our 100th episode of Crusader Talk, the man that helped make this show happen in the first place, Dr. Ben Burnett, joins us on the phone. So stay with us as we continue on Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back with you here on Crusader Talk. A lot to get to as we'll talk with Dr. Burnett as well as Ben Smith on the phone, and also a visit back to the original host of Crusader Talk coming in our final segment. Those are the things to look forward to. And so right now we are joined by the head man himself when it comes to William Cary University. Dr. Ben Burnett joins us on the phone. Dr. Burnett, first of all, thank you for joining us. And, man, what a celebration for us to have been doing this now for 100 episodes. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, Caleb, when you told me that the other night, it was kind of hard for me to believe that that many weeks would have gone by since we first had this idea and first brought it into fruition. And we're so proud of our relationship with Super Talk, not just on this show, but so many other ways that they are helping us get the message out about Cary Athletics and William Cary in general.
For our listeners that may not have been on this journey with us since the beginning, what was the genesis of deciding that this program needed to, one, exist, and two, continue on as long as it has?
Well, it was an idea and discussion between me and our athletic director at that time, DJ Pulley, and just approached Super Talk because we already have the Wednesday morning William Cary Wednesday show with Michael Mergens, which that's been a favorite of mine for many years. I did that show a bunch of times when I was still Dean of Education, so it's been in existence for a while. And so I knew we had the Eagle Hour, which is a great show, I think every day, about USM sports. And so we just thought that we needed a regular, consistent way to get our message out, because the general public, by and large, doesn't know the great things going on about William Cary Athletics.
You know, and I made mention of this at the Hall of Fame banquet on Saturday night, but Dr. Burnett, it seems like this university is really taking hold of athletics and using it as a recruiting tool when it comes to bringing in new students, not just athletes, to William Cary University. How have you personally seen that as a tool?
Well, it's certainly a part of that, because we are, as you know, Caleb, trying to do everything we can to increase campus life on our campus. And we have grown in our undergraduate population. We've grown tremendously in our residential population, about 35% in the last 2 years. And so when you bring students on campus and they live on campus, there needs to be something for them to do. And the athletic program is a great place for them to spend their time and go support their student athletes, but just to support the university too.
Dr. Burnett, this is Josh West. You know, for me, to jump in here over the last, 18 months really in earnest, and then to just every day I learn something new about how great William Carey University is. And so I go out and I'm able to be another mouthpiece for what's going on, and over 5,000 students, over 1,000 on campus, every dorm bed is full, and I'm telling people this, and they remember Carey at some point when they interacted with Carey, and maybe they haven't interacted with Carey in the last few years and they're blown away. So one of the questions is, I know that Carey just acquired a bunch more land, over 100 acres, connected behind baseball. How fast can you build dorms? How fast can you build parking garages or more parking lots, more buildings? It seems like every day you see another construction project ongoing.
Don't forget the football stadium.
Thanks, Caleb. I heard that. We did sneak in asking how quickly can we build parking lots. Well, we built two very large ones during the year, actually one last summer that opened right after Labor Day, and then another one that we opened after Christmas break. So we've alleviated a lot of the parking issue that way. And we just broke ground 2 weeks ago on another set of townhomes. We own, in addition to the 107 acres we just bought, we also own about 120 lots outside of the gate of the university. So basically for 2 to 3 blocks, any way you go around William Carey, we don't own all of it, but we own a good bit of it. And we had opened up one set of townhomes for our medical school students this past year, and looking at our residential applications being well above what they were this time last year, we knew we needed to do something quick. So we're opening up one more set now. That 107 acres that you mentioned, that needs to be the home of a major residential development. And so our first goal is to build the new entrance from Highway 49 and get a road through there. And I have a meeting with our engineering company even this week to see the final projection for that. So it's going to take a lot of money to do all that, but we feel that God has blessed us this far, and he will get us through the next phase.
Now, I'll go ahead and throw my pitch in here out in left field, some alumni visiting housing where they can take in a baseball game, maybe from a viewing deck or some nice porches that face the Milton Wheeler Field playing surface. It's a completely original idea, never been done before. You won't see it anywhere else in the state of Mississippi. I think it would be well used.
Well, all that takes is money, too, and that would be incredible. And we do need a new or a larger indoor place to host guests watching the baseball games. We've got a box there near where all of you do your broadcast from, but it's not, it will only hold about 6 or 7 people. So we need a large indoor viewing place for baseball and for softball. They're on that complex. So just one thing at a time.
Oh, yeah. Step by step, day by day. And one thing that just in reflecting right now, Dr. Burnett, that we failed to really jump into right here on the show is that last week was homecoming. A lot of folks back in town had a good showing at the Crawfish Bowl, I heard. Several people braved the rain for the baseball game and also had the Hall of Fame banquet. From your sights and from all the different places you had to run to and go on your golf cart, what were some of the highlights for you?
Well, running around and seeing everything is the highlight. But hearing the first thing we do to kick off homecoming is on Friday at lunch, and we have a 50-year recognition. So we bring back any of the alumni who graduated 50 years ago to honor them. And we always have a good number who will come back. And when you have those graduates from that long ago come back and tell their stories about the university, and I'm pretty well versed on the Carey story and the Carey history, but to hear what it meant to those people so long ago, every year that's what I look forward to the most, because we are doing great things. And I think Josh mentioned, we're our enrollment now compared to what it was even 10 or 20 years ago. But the Carey feeling of family and the spirit of Carey is, the same as it was even 50 years ago. So that's just real encouraging to me to hear all those graduates.
No, as someone who, you know, married into the Carey family, my wife is a Carey graduate, my brother-in-law is a Carey graduate, so therefore my father-in-law very much believes in William Carey, and now it is certainly rubbed off fully on me. When you talk about the wow factor, though, from all the people you talk to, what is the thing that you hear the most, or a couple of things you hear the most, of how others are perceiving the momentum of Carey?
Well, they're stunned about our growth, because even people, you know, I grew up in Hattiesburg, and even people I grew up with or have known all my life around the Hattiesburg area, really until recently haven't realized, you know, the impact of William Carey with enrollment, but also the impact, you know, of our College of Medicine, the largest medical school in the state. You know, when I say that, in any crowd, people, I always find people that had no idea about that. But the same is also true for athletics. When I start talking about, you know, we have 21 athletic teams, we have almost 400 athletes, and we have the highest winning percentage of any four-year college athletic program in the state last year. You know, people just don't comprehend or understand that. So we're just trying to do a better job of telling our story. Well, and you guys at Super Talk are a major part of that and a major reason that we're able to get that out.
And it's a privilege to do it. I'll speak on behalf of Josh and everybody who's been a part of this program over the last two and then a little bit more years. We have thoroughly enjoyed becoming de facto members of the Carey family. Even though we don't have our bachelor's from Carey, we certainly have been adopted. From just the perspective moving forward, Dr. Burnett, what is your goal moving forward to see how this program continues to be an asset for you and the university?
Speaking strictly on athletics, we want to continue to build the brand awareness, and not really just, you know, in the Hattiesburg area or in the state of Mississippi, but across the Southeast. We want people to know about our athletic program. You know, I've talked about you at Super Talk and the whole staff. Like, I was listening to the morning show this morning before 7 o'clock, and Lance was giving a rundown on all the baseball scores of the state, talking about Ole Miss being ranked number 6th and USM's ranking moving down. But then he goes on this like 2 or 3 minute explanation of what William Carey baseball had done over the weekend, and four-game, you know, winning streak they've got. And so when you hear that going out statewide, that's a good sign that we're heading in the right direction.
It helps a lot to have a confidant in Ben Milam over there in the newsroom. Dr. Burnett, thanks so much for joining us. We are dry on time here in this segment, but okay. Thanks so much for your support and for having us do this show. We'll see you around the bend.
All right. Thank you all for listening.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I don't think we can ever get enough time with Dr. Burnett on the show. And he's always been so good to us over the years, both with his support financially to make this show happen, but also with his time as well, just giving us content and, heck, a good athletics program to talk about it week in and week out.
Well, to be able to take those resources that they've had, and they've been blessed, like he said, with so much, and to be able to take the talents and be able to invest those talents and invest in others and see a vision and go out and get it, it's been remarkable. Certainly not resting on laurels, so to speak, but just going out and attacking the day. And the momentum is so real and so palpable, and it starts at the top. That's exactly where it starts.
That's right, it does. Hey, by the way, congratulations in store for Coach Bobby Hallford and his family. Welcome to a new grandbaby into the world. His daughter, Lori, just had their son, Keaton, I believe, was born a couple days ago, and healthy, doing great. His little sister, Molly, has been enjoying holding her baby.
Okay.
No, but it's been great for that family. And I know Coach Halford and his wife Kathy have been enjoying adding another boy to the mix. Because he had all daughters, Coach Halford did. And finally he got that first grandson not too long ago. Now he's got two. So that may be the straw that breaks the camel's back of whenever he decides it's time to retire, because he's going to have to coach them one of these days.
Look, I know all about the kids claiming kids. I know all about that because Landon Rosary has claimed Michael West. That is his. Mm-hmm. Every time I see Landon, how's my baby? He's an only child, and so he loves that kid and wants to spend as much time with Micah. So they're fast friends, so I get it.
Well, before Coach Halford had two grandsons, he had a coaching staff. And so Ben Smith, a former assistant under Coach Halford, one of his own boys, joins us here. Ben, first of all, thanks for joining us. It's the Ben Show today. I joke with Josh after the fact that when I started thinking about guests to have on for our 100th episode of Crusader Talk, and said, we got to make it all about the Benjamins.
That's right. So that's, right. That's a good choice.
Yeah. So Dr. Burnett, yourself, and Ben Milam will be on with us for the final segment here in kind of a celebration mode, but also just a good content mode as well. Had a good homecoming week. It was good to catch up with you and see all the different people, former Hall of Famers, back in town. Saw Dave Bush, several others wearing the red jackets there at the banquet on Saturday night. We got to induct a couple baseball players as well and former teammates of yours.
We did, and that was the first time, I think, that I've gone to one of these banquets where I could really remember, you know, a baseball player and his time here. So it was kind of special. That I didn't have to rely on a bunch of stories about guys that played before. And I got a firsthand experience to watch those two guys, and they were more than deserving of that honor. Both really, really good players. Both had school records for, almost 20 years until, I guess, R.J. Stinson broke most of Greg's. And then Justin Hennington still has a couple of records. I know John Snyder broke the saves record. But I think Hennington still has fewest earned runs and fewest runs scored in a career. So
yeah, and at least at the time they broke them. And those Hall of Famers, just to put them in context for our listeners, Greg Alexander, Hattiesburg High guy, came to William Carey, terrific player. He missed a year in there due to injury, but was still outstanding, an all-conference selection in 04, 05, 06, and 08. Ended up playing with the Evansville Otters later on in his post-college days. And then Justin Hennington out of Leakesville, Mississippi. Two-year player for Carey, transferred from Jones, and was a terrific addition for Carey on the pitching staff. And so two guys that could not be more deserving of it. And to go with them, Sarah Beckman Fuller, former softball Crusader. A smaller class this year, by the way, and you told me that was by design.
Yeah, you know, we're moving homecoming to the fall for the future, so we're doing it again in October of this year. So we're going to have a whole new Hall of Fame banquet in October, so we kind of figured we'd do three in the spring, two or three in the fall, and it kind of keeps us on track with five or six a year. So we'll get to do this all again in just a few months, so.
You're not helping these football rumors at all, you know, moving a homecoming to the fall. People expect something now.
No, we're going to center it around our soccer and volleyball programs in the fall. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's also going to be my next question. Was it going to be anything related to basketball? What's going to be?
It'll be, and I'm not sure exactly when the basketball season kicks off.
Basketball kickoff usually the last Saturday of October.
Yeah, and this is more toward the beginning of October. I know we'll have men's and women's soccer that are both at home that Saturday. And we're working on some schedule changes for volleyball to get them home as well.
Well, and just throwing this out there, would be a great time for an open practice, autograph, meet the players, meet the team, kind of a meet the Crusaders type event where, because I know it was a big hit when the team captured their regular season title and they had a chance to interact with the fans and right. sign their autographs and stuff. That was one of the cool moments of the entire season for me. Shifting gears back to baseball this weekend in the Hall of Fame, what's some of the feedback you're getting from some of these record-setting crowds, if you will, and the energy and the excitement around baseball, just the electric atmosphere at Milton Wheeler? It's been a lot of fun. It's been noticeable from the broadcast standpoint and just the energy in the stadium. What's been the feedback?
Well, I think the first thing you've got to look at is they're playing really well and they're winning. And people love to watch a winner. So that's number one, what helps. And I think we're getting higher student engagement, and I liken a lot of that to the app. I think promoting the app is I think it's working the way we'd hoped it would, with getting more student participation at games. And we've had several events too. You know, we had the ADP night a couple of weeks ago when we played Mississippi College. We had an alumni day at baseball for former players to come and bring their families. So it's just constantly having different events to get people there. And so far it's working, and we've just got to keep the ball rolling.
On a night like ADP night, you know you're probably going to keep a majority of those fans for dinner and maybe an hour, hour and a half. Even though the result on the field was not what the Crusaders wanted, there were a lot of home runs early. So it was a show early.
It was an entertaining game.
Yes, it was.
I think we made two errors that probably cost us about four total runs, and that was the difference in the game. So, but that's baseball. Mississippi College has got a good team. We've got a good team. So it was a fun environment for people to watch baseball.
And it's a good close proximity team. So you had a lot of Mississippi College fans that made the trip over from Clinton or wherever around the Jackson area they reside. I mean, it's not that hard to drive 2 hours to Hattiesburg.
And you know, like midweek games, back when I was playing and even before I was playing, that's the way it always was for a midweek game. You had some out-of-conference regional rivalries like Mississippi College, Delta State, West Florida, West Alabama, and all those teams traveled pretty well. So you had a really good environment for midweek games back then. And then, you know, back then your conference series was Belhaven, Mobile, Spring Hill, Loyola. So everybody was kind of around here, so you always drew well. It's you're not going to draw as well when you've got, you know, Middle Georgia State coming to town. Nobody knows who they are, and they're 8 hours away. So that kind of hurts us from a crowd standpoint sometimes. But if we could get to where we played those midweek games again, where we play them, you know, and have some of those built-in regional rivalries, it would help.
So in thinking about baseball crowds, you have a big weekend coming up. We've got some time building up until then, but the last regular season series is going to be against Loyola. It'll be a Thursday-Friday series, which kind of hurts from a, you know, freedom, out-of-work type getting out there to the ball field. You know what I'm trying to say. But what's it like for you in trying to get that engagement early to try to get folks out there to what will be a key series for William Carey as far as finishing out the SSAC regular season?
Well, I've spoken with one of the leaders from that student organization, the Rally Crew, and we're kind of spitballing some ideas right now to get students there. We'll probably do some type of giveaway. I'll have to get with you guys ahead of that and let you know what it is so you can promote it on here. But I think to be able to get people to come to the ballpark, you've got to kind of treat it like minor league baseball. You got to have stuff going on all the time. So that's kind of where we're at with it.
You know, in this role, which I believe you've had for going on a full year now, you're fast approaching that. I can't remember what the exact start date was for you there.
I was named, I guess, in April of last year, but I didn't really start until after baseball season.
Yeah, so unofficially or officially about a year.
Yeah.
What do you feel like has been the biggest shift in William Carey Athletics since you took on that position, and where do you see things heading in the near and maybe distant future?
That's a tough question.
Yeah, it's a loaded one, I know.
I think the app was the biggest thing so far that we've been able to do. For the future, I'm not real sure. I mean, we've got some things, we've got ideas that we, you know, spitball, but I really want to see how well the app does first. And this show here, I think it does a good job of promoting the athletic department. And, you know, the show's now attached to the app. You've got a direct link from that. But it's still in like I was saying, minor league baseball is just what keeps coming to my head. You got stuff in between innings. You've got T-shirt cannons and giveaways and things like that. And I think that's the best way right now that we can promote things. I think we could have some games where we have, you know, certain businesses that we promote their business, and that'll help get their employees to the ballparks or to the court, whatever. And we've just got to do things like that.
Yeah, and it feels like everything costs a little bit of money, but the money that you spend is the money that you gain back in the long run. If you're talking from just a financial perspective, but really it's from the fan engagement and making memories standpoint that we're trying to instill in Carey fans right now, because not only do memories bring them back in the short run to more ball games while they're students, but also when they leave the school, they want to come back.
And what Ben talks about, Ben, you say everybody loves a winner, and then when you're talking about value – for your entertainment dollar, I don't think there's a better value out there than Carey.
No, I would agree with that. It's like getting the pizza combo at Sam's or a Costco hot dog, man. You get a good deal, you want to come out there. I go there for lunch sometimes. That's a shameless plug there. All right, just about 30 seconds left here before the music hits us. But for people out there that are wondering how they can get involved in William Carey Athletics, either from a sponsorship standpoint or just a fan support standpoint, what is their need to know?
From a sponsorship standpoint, you can email me or give me a call. My email address is bsmith@wmcarey.edu. My office number is 601-318-6657. So if you've got a sponsorship idea or something you want to throw out there, or any kind of partnership, that's the best way to do it. As far as involvement, I still think download the app. It's going to give you wire-to-wire access to William Carey Athletics, and that's the best way to keep up with things.
Just a quick hitter. What do you think the future is for baseball this season at William Carey? Do they got a chance to make it back to Lewiston?
I think they're going
to
win the whole thing.
That's right. That's the mentality we got to have here. I still got to figure out some of these pitching things, but that'll come with time. And when midweek stop happening, then all of a sudden you have another set of arms that you can use throughout the weekends. But that is Ben Smith, Assistant AD for External Relations here on Crusader Talk tonight, here celebrating our 100th episode of the show/podcast. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, guys.
All right. When we come back, Josh and I will visit with Ben Milam, original host of Crusader Talk. That's coming up as we continue.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Oh, what a run it has been, and it is still going to continue on as we celebrate episode number 100 of Crusader Talk. And we're joined by the man who I was behind a mic with in our first ever episode back on February the 6th of 2023, Ben Milam. How quickly the man has grown in popularity across our state, and even down in Louisiana for a short stint. Ben, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, fellas. Always good to talk to you.
Man, Dr. Burnett was telling us earlier that even Lance Tolbert down in the morning show has been talking about William Carey baseball,
right,
and giving the scores and all that. I said it helps having a good confidant down the hallway. Have you been
feeling that? Yeah, it does. Yeah, Lance is taking a, you know, he's gained an affinity for William Carey baseball especially, but I'll take a little bit of credit for that. Lance comes in and asks me how Carey did over the weekend, and I'll give him the skinny, but I just, you know, it's a fun thing, and something I really take a pleasure in doing is spreading the Crusader gospel a little bit up in Jackson.
I love the way you say that. but, yeah, how has the gig been over there? Because you've had that for going on a year, maybe a little bit more than a year now.
Yeah, just under a year, actually.
Okay.
That's
right, man, because you started right after the opening round. That was right, because you delayed your start because of that.
Yeah, May 20th of last year. It's been good. It's been an adjustment. I've never been a journalist before. I've never been in the news, but you know, I'm using tools that I used in different ways as a sports broadcaster and play-by-play, and as a sports writer. And it's enjoyable. It's fast-paced. I get to write about and cover different things and talk about different things on the radio every day. And Super Talk's a great company to be with. I mean, our airwaves cover quite literally every inch of the state. And so it's a big job. It's an important job and something I'm really thankful to be doing.
Ben, we're all going to do a little round table here. And in celebration of this being the 100th episode, I want to kind of revisit, and I didn't preface you on this, so you can maybe have one at the tip of your tongue that you can give us. But what are our favorite moments on the podcast ever since we started back in early 2023? And while you think about it, I can go ahead and give you mine. And that was talking to Patrick Lee after he got the call up to Double A, which I think it was when he got to Double A. Maybe he got to Double A right after we talked to him. But in the Detroit Lions organization, or Detroit Tigers, excuse me, organization, he's not playing football, y'all. But getting the call up there and getting to talk about his ascension quickly up through the ranks to where he ended up in AAA for a short stint before the season kind of finished out. But that was probably one of my favorite interviews that we got to have on the podcast. But for you, it may be not an interview, but maybe a certain athletics run that we got to cover.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm certainly partial to the World Series run in 2023, which was my last year with Kerry on the broadcast side of things and on Crusader Talk. And obviously I got to go call those four games in Lewiston, but it was just, you know, I feel like that's where we started to kind of hit our stride a little bit. You know, that was three, maybe four months into the beginning of Crusader Talk in 2023. And it felt like we, you know, me and you as co-host and I think Josh was starting to be brought into the fold. Maybe it was that following fall. So correct me if I'm wrong there, but you know, it felt like we were starting to have fun, and it was also a lot more fun because we had this historic run to talk about and national championship implications for baseball, which, you know, that's something that you guys now and I, when I was hosting the show, kind of got used to talking about a little bit. But that felt a little bit different because, you know, baseball had, was felt like they were getting back to sort of that premier spot, and also me getting to come back and talk about and get to talk to Coach Halford, you know, after, you know, hitting his milestone in terms of the win total. That was just a really cool experience all the way around. And I mean, that was honestly probably about a month, month's worth of episodes leading up to the World Series. And then after that, that was just a whole lot of fun.
Josh, what about you?
It's the guests. I mean, from, you know, immediately, like Rose Warren and Barry Farrell, and whether it's Coach Knight and his wife, or whether it's Tracy, when the guests are in studio. So not only the guests, but the guests that, like Ben, that take the time to come in studio, or who are able. You have a lot that are like by phone, like Dr. Burnett, who are very busy and just might not have they have the want to, but just not are able to get in studio. Definitely the guests, certainly the in studio guests. It's so much fun to be able to interact with them.
You know, I think back to, we had a fun road episode where I did the episode live while you were covering soccer, but I was just down the table from you with Coach Farrell while the women were about to set a record for goals scored in an NAIA soccer match. Ended up being second place overall in the history of the NAIA, but that was a fun episode too. Ben, man, it is awesome to celebrate this. You were a huge part of this podcast in its early days. You helped set the tone and help us be able to continue on in your footsteps, and we look forward to hearing all the great news reports from you on this same station for hopefully many years to come.
Well, hey, I appreciate y'all, and it's been fun to see this thing grow and for y'all to take it and make it a lot better than it was when I was doing it. I liken it a little bit to when the Lions traded Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff. You know, Jared Goff was okay. He was a fine quarterback. But then the Rams brought in Matthew Stafford and he won a Super Bowl. I've enjoyed listening to you guys win Super Bowls and having a small part of the beginning of it.
We haven't won a national championship yet since you left. So still got to worry about that. But, Ben, thanks so much for joining us. And for all our guests today, as we made it all about the Benjamins here on episode 100 of Crusader Talk. For Ben Milam, for Josh West and Dalton Stanford, I'm Caleb Hamill. Till next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.